have between 10 and 20 people that I trust in Washington, and Jim is one of them. He is remarkable. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord that we meet together today on the Sabbath. Thank you so much for coming out. I want to ask you why we're all here today. Why are we here? Ted Cruz for president. I heard somebody give me the right answer a minute ago. We're here for the Constitution of the United States of America. This campaign is not about one man. This campaign is about we the people and what we the people can do when the government gets out of our way. It is about the idea that right now we're battling a group of people in our country that have been kicked down and kicked down and kicked down, and we don't know where to go. I will tell you, I am so proud to stand with you, Cruz supporters, because we're the ones that really kind of started this revolution. We're the ones that years ago stood together and said, wait, what's happening to the Constitution? We were the ones that went all over in our hometowns and all over the country with our children, and we taught them about the Constitution, and we said it wasn't about race, it wasn't about just because they're a Democrat. We had principles that we stood on. And I am so proud to stand with the millions of people all across the country who say, yeah, I might like the show better over here. I might like this guy might have a better chance according to all the pundits, but I stand with principles. That makes all the difference in the world. And because of that, our guy has the best chance of winning, because we have the Almighty God on our side. Trust in the Lord. Four different things, because there's different ways to go. There is socialism, which, because we have let our schools go, we haven't been paying attention because the Department of Education has really let it go to radicals. Nobody is teaching what socialism really is, and socialism is the step between communism and capitalism. And so we are going to a lot of people are running towards a failed system. But the reason why, if you listen to Bernie Sanders, I believe Bernie Sanders has actually made a good diagnosis of what the problem is. His solutions are left in the 20th century. But the problems, his diagnosis is right. And one of his things that he says in every single speech is, we are a nation that understands fairness. We're a nation built on fairness. If you look at his language, he's wrong on the language. We weren't built on fairness, but we were on the concept of fairness. If I may use the founders' words, all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, among these life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what makes us fair. We're all born exactly the same way. It's what you do with your life that makes the difference. But we should all have a fair shot. And that's why this system, the way we're playing it now with crony capitalism and progressivism, doesn't work. Because if you have an idea and you want to build something, and you have an idea and you want to build something, let the best man win. But if you happen to be a builder who builds a lot of buildings and golf courses and puts a lot of gold crap on everything, nobody in particular I'm thinking about, just because you have access to the politician, just because you have the money to bribe and then say it's a business expense, no, that's a bribe. That's a bribe. And just because you can bribe a politician should not mean that you win. In America, that's not right. Problem with our system right now is money talks. Money shouldn't talk. People should talk. Principles should talk. It's not whether you win. I heard Donald Trump say the other day, we're going to win, we're going to win, we're going to win. I get greedy and we're going to grab and grab and grab. That's not America. It's not about winning. It's about how you play the game. And the reason why so many people are lost is because you don't know how to play the game. You don't want to play the game. I don't want to teach my children. How many of us want to teach our children that that's the way business is done? We want to be able to look at our children and our grandchildren and say, no, you be a good man. You be a man of an honor. You give, forget the contract. Give him a cowboy handshake, that's good enough. You look a man in the eye and you say, this is my word, this is my bond. That's what we want to teach our children. And that comes from us. That comes from us. Socialism is top down. Our constitutional republic is bottom up. And so that comes from us. Nobody can make America great if she's not good. De Tocqueville says, America is great because America is good. We're slowly, and faster and faster it seems every day, we are becoming less and less a good nation. When you can have somebody stand up and say, hey, quiet down, and you know what? You guys beat the hell out of him, and I'll cover your legal bills. That's not a good nation. That's not good people. That's wrong, and we need to reject that. When Donald Trump came out today, where people were tweeting that he was getting endorsements from the KKK, Donald Trump's response this morning was, I'm not going to condemn anyone. I need to do my research. I don't know what kind of research you need to do on the Klan. Like the Nazis and the Klan. Pretty easy. Bad. That's not good. So, our first one is socialism. And that's just from a lack of education and a lack of understanding how what makes us different. The next one is totalitarianism. And that's Donald Trump. I'll get it done. Last week he said he's going to change the laws so he can sue basically people like me who disagree with him, so he can put libel suits out against him, so he can shut those institutions down. I'm telling you right now, we have already talked as a family that if this guy is the president, we need to start looking for a home that we can broadcast into the United States, because I believe this is a very dangerous man. Please, wake your neighbors up. The third option that people run to, the third option is the status quo, the Marco Rubios, and quite honestly, the Hillary Clintons, although I kind of put Hillary Clinton in that category and in prison. But the status quo is, it works for me, and the system's working well enough, and we'll just grease the skids and we'll make deals. We saw it with Marco Rubio with the Gang of Eight. You either have principles or you do not. Making deals will not get us where we need to go. So deal making. Status quo is the third option. And the fourth is the Constitution of the United States of America. Someone who will stand up and protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. You know what, while you're standing, keep standing for a second. Stand up for a second. I want you to look at each other. I want you to turn around and look at somebody you don't know, and it's going to be uncomfortable. Look them in the eye. I know, it's really uncomfortable. Look a stranger in the eye. And ask yourself, do I want the same exact rights for that person?
Yes. Yes.
For the same person, the same rights. We're all the same. We want the same things for our children and for our family and for one another. E pluribus unum, we are all one. That's what makes us unique. And I see the kids in the audience. And I know my kids and my grandkids. I just went camping with my 11-year-old son for Boy Scouts on Friday. I wanted to hang myself. Camping for me is like the Holiday Inn. That's as close as I get to camping. I can't, man, it was... And then he said to me as we drove away, "Dad, we get to do this once a month." Suddenly I find myself very anti-Boy Scouts. But as we look at our children, as the dads and I sat around the campfire and we talked, we all said the same thing. The country's coming undone. I don't even recognize us anymore. I don't recognize some of our fellow citizens who are so enraged. I mean, I understand why. But we must. I've never made a good decision. I've never said to somebody, "Oh man, I flew off the handle today. I was just so angry. But I made the greatest decision of my life." We've never said that. We always say, "I'm sorry. I was really angry. I flew off the handle." Our friends and neighbors who are angry have got to find it in themselves, and we have to help them heal. Find it in themselves. You don't make a good decision based on revenge, based on anger. It's dangerous. But what they're upset about is, again, the rule of law. We have taken the Constitution and so trampled on it that there is no equality anymore. Equal justice under the law. Equal justice. Everybody gets their own fair shake. But we know, and many of the people in Washington, the good ones, will tell you, there are many people in Washington who don't believe, they believe they can do anything and never go to jail. You and I both know that Hillary Clinton should not be running for president. She should be elected. And I would say that if she were a Republican. The Republicans need to learn that lesson as well. You break the law, you go to jail. Nobody's too big for prison. Nobody's too big to fail. They hold us to these standards. We must hold them to those standards. We've flipped everything upside down. They're not the boss of us. We're their boss. We're their employer. I brought a couple of things from, I'm beginning a library and museum down in Dallas. I have an opportunity to be a steward of some really remarkable things. And I brought a couple of things with you to help make the point of where we are. At 13 years old, George Washington, he was a surveyor. At 13, 14, 15 years old, he's out in the woods surveying Virginia. And he's surveying Pittsburgh. And he is drawing all of the maps, which shows who he really was. He was a man of measurements. Measure your steps, measure your words, measure your thoughts, and do it with exactness. When he was 13 years old, he got this compass. This is George Washington's compass. It's the only one that he ever owned. So every place that he ever went, he had this on him. Come here for a second. He had this on him. When I was at Fox, I had the opportunity to take somebody down. And they were providing me with an awful lot of grief. And I had the goods, but it was more of a smear than it was a good solid case. And oh, I wanted to smear them so badly, the bad guy in me was like, "Do it, Glenn, do it." And I got up that morning, and I knew I had the opportunity, and I knew I was justified, but you don't make good decisions when you're angry. And so I opened up the safe that day, and I put this in my suit pocket. And I had it in my pocket, and if you ever watched that particular episode, I had my hand in pocket the whole time, just thinking, stay true, stay true, stay the course. Do everything with exactness, measure your words. But it's an amazing thing when I did that, because I was holding it all day, and I realized, if you will hold it with this hand, I realized that if you put it right there, now rub your thumb. No, not on the top, rub it, right? Do you feel that finger imprint? That's where George Washington, I believe, that's where George Washington did the same thing his whole life. Just rubbed that compass his whole life and thought, stay true, stay measured, stay true. It was an amazing thing. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. To think that the father of our country, who's this giant of a man, thank you, who's this giant of a man, had to do the same thing that I do, had to do the same thing you do. It shows us that we all can be better. We just have to try to be better. We have to try not to give in to the worst part of us. But a couple of other things. Right now we're torn apart. We're torn apart as a family of Americans. We have to come back together. But what will bring us back together? Principles will bring us back together. Recognizing who we really are and what we all learned around our kitchen table growing up. This is a note written by Ronald Reagan to his daughter, Patty. They had a bad falling out before he died. They had a bad falling out, and she was addicted to drugs, and it was bad. It was a sad story. But before he announced he had Alzheimer's and told us, he told the family. And he wrote this to her. It says, "Dear Patty, it was good to hear from you. As the old song goes, the days dwindle down to but a precious few. Patty, I think a talk between us is the answer to some of our differences. There are extremists on both sides of every issue. Reasonable people should look into both sides and see if every charge or countercharge is justified by the facts. Even if there are differences, does it justify a family separation? We can disagree on things without abandoning our family principles and relationship. I remember a little girl who used to sit on my lap and ask me to marry her. Love, Dad." She sold this letter for drug money. She missed her opportunity. We have the same opportunity. We need our friends to see when somebody says liar, if every charge and countercharge is true. There are extremists on all sides. But we have to do the things to come back to our principles, to come back in love as a family of Americans, and do the right thing. Because we were blessed with something truly magical. And we just have to remember our place. This is a note written by John F. Kennedy. John F. Kennedy had just gone over to the Soviet Union to meet with Khrushchev, and he was trying to get them to disarm, and he thought he was going to go over and change the world, but he was young, and all of his advisors said, "You can't do it. You can't do it. You don't understand who Khrushchev is. He'll slaughter you." But he was arrogant, and he was young, and he went over and he met with Khrushchev, and the advisors were exactly right. He was killed, and the press killed him. He got back onto Air Force One, and he was flying back over the ocean, and he went into his office on the plane just to write, and he was going to write a speech for the American people to explain he was sorry, and to explain what had just happened. About halfway over the Atlantic, he buzzed his secretary, Evelyn Lincoln, and he said, "Ms. Lincoln, please come in and just clear all of the papers out and throw them away." She said when she walked into his cabin, he was there and he had his head down on his table, on his desk, and he had just pushed all of the papers off onto the ground. She silently walked in through that airplane and she picked all of them up and she threw them all away except for this one, because she thought this was important. In her own hand at the very top, it says June 1961. This is what he wrote. I know there is a God, and I see a storm coming. If he has a place for me, I am. And then he scratches that out and writes, I believe I am ready. There's a storm coming. I know there is a God. I know he has a plan for each and every one of us. It's up to us to play our role at this time, to never ever give up, but trust that somehow or another it's going to work. Remember the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory? When Charlie Bucket, everybody was trying to get Charlie Bucket to give up, and he goes and everybody except his grandpa was telling him, you're never going to do it, you're never going to do it, you're never going to do it. Think of his family and think of his friends. Everyone said, you're never going to do it, you're never going to make it. And in the end, because of fraud, he opened up a chocolate bar and he got Willy Wonka's golden ticket. This is the Charlie Bucket golden ticket from the movie. What is our golden ticket? Our people have been told for decades, you're not going to make it. Your voice doesn't matter. Sit down and take it. Don't talk about politics in public. Don't talk about religion in politics. Don't say things that make people uncomfortable. It is high time. Our golden ticket is the Constitution of the United States, and it requires us to stand up and say we are not for the things, to stand arm in arm with each other and protect and defend those rights for our children and our grandchildren. And the man who will do it, the man who will protect it, every waking day is a man that I have seen stand on that point, unwilling to give up his position because he's one of the only men there. He'll stand on the point no matter what the storm is, being stabbed in the chest, being stabbed in the back, having his head kicked in by the media, doesn't stop him because he has a fire in his bones. He knows his God, he knows his principles, and he respects the Constitution of the United States. He is our next president.